Good morning. So we just finished up the book of Jonah, and we are actually partway through the season, the church calendar called Lent. Now I know, we don't do a lot around church calendar things in our tradition here. But I did want to, for the next few weeks leading up to Holy Week, and Easter, I thought it was a good time for us to just pause and take a little look at some of the Lenten themes, the themes around Lent. Lent is a word that comes from an old English word that really means spring, the season of spring. It's the 40 days before Easter, not counting Sundays. Starts on what we call Ash Wednesday. So that has already passed. It commemorates in part Jesus' 40 days that he was in the desert being tempted by Satan. And it's a season for believers to pause, to repent of our sins, to dwell on our sins, and a time to have a solemn look at ourselves as we approach Easter, and recognizing and believing and remembering and celebrating that Jesus died for our sins but rose again from the dead, because death cannot hold him, that he is the Lord, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so for the next few weeks, we'll look at a few passages here as we that are kind of traditional Lent passages as we head into Holy Week, into Easter. So would you please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now we're only going to look at the second half of this passage. In the first half, verses 1 through 23, Jesus comes across, his disciples come across a man born blind, been blind all his life. And his disciples ask him, Jesus, who was it who sinned? Was it this man who sinned, or his parents were sinned so that he was born blind? Because that was the prevailing thought about how God works, that bad things happen to bad people, and good people, good things happen to. And Jesus says, this has nothing to do with this man's sin or his parents' sin or anything. He said, this has happened to him. He was born blind so that God might receive the glory. He then goes and heals the man. He then has go wash in the pool and present himself to the priests. And then the Pharisees get wind of what's happening here. And they call this man in because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, where they said you were not supposed to do any work. And they call him in and they question him, this man, who healed you? How were you healed? And now in our passage this morning we look at, they call him back in because they aren't satisfied with the answers that they're getting. They're upset, very upset by what is going on, what has happened here. So we'll pick up John chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner, referring to Jesus. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. This is God's word. Here we have seeing and believing being linked together here. We know the saying, seeing is believing, and I don't think that that's really accurate, especially in our new world of AI deep fake videos and all that. Just see some really cute video online, and it's like, oh my, this is amazing, and you show it to your kids, and they're like, really, Dad, that's AI. I'm like, what do you mean it's AI? I can't, it looks perfect. No, come on, you can't tell. Ask your kids if you want to know if something's really AI or not. They can pick it up just like that. They know it instantly. So I don't always think that seeing is believing. I think a lot of times we walk by faith, not by sight, the scriptures declare. That for us, we believe and then we see in so many ways. When Jesus is opening the eyes of a man born blind. And it's not the physical seeing that enables him to believe. But he believes because he's encountered Jesus and the power of Jesus. That Jesus has revealed himself to this man. First part of our passage, we see that this man is teaching the teachers in verses 24 to 34. He's a little feisty with these guys here. He's got some attitude, doesn't he, when he's talking to these Pharisees here. They call him in again, and again, they're upset because they don't like Jesus, they don't understand Jesus, and he broke one of their laws. To not do work on the Sabbath, not understanding who Jesus is, that they were saying what's important is the set of rules that we have manufactured around God's word, that's more important than the heart of who God is. Jesus doesn't stand for that. You know, we as believers, we know that it is part of our calling to take what God has given to us freely and to share that with others. Whether that's our physical resources, our time, our shoulder to cry on, or whether that's the good news of who Jesus is, to share the gospel with other people. And I know for many that feels scary and intimidating. We conjure up all these pictures of having these Bible debates with our non-believing family and friends and neighbors, and we go, oh, I don't know the Bible very well. I can't get into a discussion and can't have some conversation about who Jesus is. I don't know what to say, so I'll just say nothing. Well, for those of us who feel intimidated about sharing and telling other people about Jesus, I have to encourage you with this passage and this man here. They say to this, the Pharisees say to this man, give glory to God. We know he's a sinner. So tell us who he is. Tell us what he's doing. Tell us what happened. Give us all the details. And he starts off and all he says is, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. Here's what I know. I was blind. Jesus healed me. Now I see. That's my testimony. That we can share simply what Jesus has done in our lives. We don't have to get into a big theological debate or treatise or be able to quote hundreds of Bible passages. We can say what Jesus has done in our life. Maybe this week, maybe 20 years ago. That too is sharing and telling people who Jesus is by sharing who he is in our life and what he has done in our life. This man pushes back on them. They keep saying he's a sinner, and he comes back and says, if he's a sinner, how can he do God's will? How can God's power come through him? There's no denying the miracle. This isn't some sideshow or carnival or TV show trick here that someone's doing. This is an actual miracle that has been performed. It's never questioned here. Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore he has the power to heal. Jesus, as the Son of God, alone can do this. He is shouting forth who he is by blessing someone who is hurting. And in doing so, bringing glory to God. If you remember, especially, well, this is many years ago now, I guess, when we look through the book of Matthew, we really were noticing that Jesus' miracles that he performs, they're not random, right? He doesn't just go and say, look, I'm going to turn the ocean into glass, or I'm going to make the sky go from blue to red. He doesn't do random miracles just to show his power. The miracles he performs show us a glimpse of who God is and what his kingdom is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so, in the kingdom of heaven, there's no sickness. When he raises Lazarus from the dead, in the kingdom of heaven, there's no death. When he casts out demons in the kingdom of heaven, there's no evil. He's showing forth here, as he heals the man born blind, that there's no sickness, no illness, no cancer, no decay, no colds, no nothing. He's also showing that we walk by faith, that we don't see. That this man isn't it didn't require his sight, to see and to come in contact with Jesus. But Jesus uses that picture of blind to seeing to show about faith, that there is a blindness that we have, as we talked about at the end of the passage here, when we don't believe, but that by believing now we do see Jesus. In verses 35 to 38 then, Jesus invites us to believe in him, to trust in him. Jesus goes and finds the man again after he hears that he's been kicked out by the Pharisees and says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now, the Son of Man is a title that comes from, many places in the Old Testament, but significantly, and I know we've talked about this a lot, Daniel chapter 7, where there's this beautiful vision that Daniel receives of the Ancient of Days, God the Father seated on his throne, and one comes into his presence like a Son of Man, he's called. And the Son of Man then receives all the worship of the people, of all the peoples, which only God receives. And so we have this, again, it's in a vision form, so it's not saying it's literal, but in this vision form, we have this picture of God the Father and God the Son present together there. It's not saying they're separate. There's one God. Again, it's just this vision that God gives to Daniel there. But it's Jesus, and so it's a title that he takes on most frequently for himself in the Gospels, Son of Man. It means he's God. Now, I always find it interesting that the title Son of Man refers to Jesus' divinity, that he is God. He also has a title that he calls himself the Son of God, which actually refers to him being human, because Son of God or Sons of God is the name that God gives to Israel, his people, his human people. So the titles are just interesting. They're kind of reversed. Son of Man is referring to Jesus as God. Son of God is referring to Jesus as man. It's kind of interesting how that flips there. And this man who has been healed by Jesus says, "Tell me who the Son of Man is and I'll believe in him. I trust you, Jesus. I don't know anything about the scriptures. I don't know anything about God. I trust you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "I am the Son of Man." And in verse 38, the man born blind says, "Lord, I believe," and he worships him. So we see here that he truly believes that Jesus is God. He doesn't just say, "I believe," and shake his hand and say, "Thank you." He worships him. You worship God alone. Well, then, in the end of the passage, after inviting us to believe that he is God, Jesus invites us to see, to have faith, to see by our heart, by faith, not by our eyes. Jesus says in verse 39, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, that I may bring those who do not know me, who do not trust in me, who do not believe in me, may bring them into faith, to believing in me. But I've also come that those who claim to see would be blinded." The Pharisees hear this and they know he's talking about them. He says, what, are we blind? We're the spiritual ones. We're the ones who go to church every week. We're the ones who pray and make sure everyone knows we're praying. We're the ones who look like and order our lives around every strict law that we have so that we think we've made ourselves really good, really righteous, really good people. We see, we know God, we understand. Jesus says, you have it all backwards. If you came as a blind person saying, Lord, I can't see, help me see, or Lord, help me in my unbelief, then Jesus would open their eyes. But when the Pharisees come and say, oh, we know better than you, we know who God really is, Jesus says, you are fooling yourself. So where are we this morning? Do we struggle to believe that Jesus really is the Son of God? That he is the Savior? Do we struggle to believe that we are saved simply by faith? Or do we think we have to make ourselves good in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven? Are we having a hard time believing who Jesus is? Okay. I would suggest we just come to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't see you. Help me see. Give me sight, Lord. That we stop trying to make ourselves good enough for God. God loves you. He sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross because he loves you so much. I remember when I was in college, I was a new believer and was in a Bible study, and there was a young student who didn't believe in God. And we were, you know, inviting him and asking him, what's keeping you from believing in Jesus? He says, well, I got to get my life straightened out first. Then I'll believe. I just remember trying to share with him that's not how it works. That's backwards. We don't straighten our life out, make ourselves good, get our act together, get up all shiny and get rid of all of the sin in our lives, and then come to Jesus and say, okay, I'm presentable now. Accept me. No, we come to Jesus and say, I'm a mess. Would you cleanse me? It's like the prodigal son returning home after making a mess of his life and was just, his life was over. But the father says, I love you. You are my child. And so we pray. We pray not because we see. We pray by faith. It is faith. We say and pray, Jesus, open our eyes so that we may believe you are the Savior. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he is our Savior. Help us, Lord, to believe in you, that we may be saved. Help us, Lord, when we doubt. Help us in our unbelief, O Lord God. Open our eyes, Father, that we may see Jesus. Correct us when we think we're so right about you and who you are, but we've turned you into an idol, a false god. Please, by your Spirit, help us to know the ways in which we have believed a lie about you, that we may know you and love you and follow you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.